Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Dance with Mental Health with Meg Dog, bipolar peer specialist, and Doc Reimers, that's me, psychologist in New Jersey. Dance with Mental Health is a talk show that advocates for positive mental health and wellness. When you dance with your mental health condition, you are taking the right steps to move towards emotional healing by allowing acceptance at every turn. My mental health story is a snapshot of someone's true life experiences struggling with a mental health condition. These stories are going to touch your heart, open your mind, and they're going to give you a deeper understanding and an appreciation for the challenges that an individual faces as they journey towards wellness. Hey, McDowell, are you there?
I am here, Doc. How are you?
Good, good. Trying to stay warm. Is it cold enough?
Yeah, it is.
Wow, we have had a polar blast here. It is,
yeah.
16 degrees and dropping to our, maybe to our coldest day in the year, the winter.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be like 1 degrees in the morning.
Yeah. I know that people probably out in Montana and other places, yeah, that's not so cold, but to us, it's cold.
Yes, it is.
Well, we'll just have to stay warm here. So, what do you have for the show tonight?
Well, I have a really cool little story. It's from a guy. His nickname is Ash, and he is from Indonesia.
Oh.
And yeah, this is a pretty cool little story. It starts out with, if I had to sum everything up to one thing that helped my recovery and how I managed the challenges that stood before me, it would have to be management of attention. As a schizophrenic, I had to deal with many voices and hallucinations that generated a parallel belief system often called delusions. With the medication slowing down my mental processes and affecting my physical strength and stamina, my days kept getting more and more difficult. How did I break through? I chose to pay attention to what was happening inside me. I did it by choosing just one task, a task that would take 5 minutes, never got completed for 5 hours or more due to constant disturbance and interference from my inner world and my outside environment. So I would ease up, write the task down, and pay attention to all the disturbances. Why were they so important at this moment? I would allow each layer to appear and complete its communication patiently. Once all was said, there was silence, and I could go back to my task and complete it effortlessly. It sharpened my capacity to listen in a very big way. By paying attention to what was calling on me with a sense of urgency and being complete with it, there was a huge space created for thoughtful actions born from awareness. A few things that you might find interesting. One, our energy flows inward sometimes. It shows that it is time to study, listen, and learn. Two, our energy comes to still sometimes. It shows that it is time to rest and relax because everything is being processed inside us. Three, our energy flows outward sometimes. It shows that it is time to express or act. The biggest mistake we make is when we try to go against the flow of our energy. Let's pay attention and be at ease in our day-to-day lives. Thanks so much, Ash.
Oh.
So what do you think about that? That was really cool, huh?
That is so cool. And he leaves the letter with happy awareness. I love that.
Yeah.
Happy awareness.
I love the fact that he really sat there and paid attention to himself. And that he acknowledges, yes, that he does hear things. So he's acknowledging that. So he's not trying to push everything away and get all scattered. He's listening to what's going on. Then he's able to do his task because he wrote it down and now he's not confused. So he's able to do his task without having any other interruptions. I thought that was great.
Yeah. I mean, this is actually a good lesson for all of us. I mean, to listen to our, to our inner voice, to listen
right.
to our thoughts and to not get so distracted with all the things that are in our lives. I mean, so many of us just daily trudge through life and we're all stressed out with all these things that we have to do and chores and children and friends and job and just managing a household. That's a lot. And we get lost. Yeah, we're surviving. And we get lost in that survival. But this guy has it right.
He says,
pay attention. Pay attention to yourself. We don't have time for ourselves. We have time for everybody else and everybody's pullness. Well, we're allowing ourselves to be pulled in so many different directions. But you know what? When it comes down to it, listen to yourself. Have some peaceful time. Don't let life just drag you around. Charge. Listen. Listen to yourself. And the other thing is that we end up not even listening to other people, right?
Exactly.
I mean, because of our, our mind is somewhere else. We're like 10 steps ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've lost the essence of what the person is saying and how they might be feeling. We're lost. We're like
right.
lost in a jungle of distractions.
Yeah, I really think that a lot of times that when people are talking, that people really aren't concentrating on what the other party is saying because they're so trying to think of what they're going to say next. So you're
yes.
totally not even hearing what's going on in front of you. And, the conversation is pretty much just one-sided because you're not even listening.
Yeah, right. You're not even listening. And really asking yourself, I mean, this question, he said, why were they so important at this moment? So if you look at, all these distractions that we allow in our life, why are they so important? Are they important when it comes down to it? Your inner voice and listening to yourself, that's important. And listening to others. We call it active listening. Listening with
yes.
not just your ears, but with your heart. That's important. Well, I know we have another story here, and I thought
yeah.
you'd like to read this story.
Yes, this story is from a really nice woman. Her name is Alana, and I know her because she is actually one of my admins in my support group on Facebook.
Okay, and what's your support group on Facebook? What's it called?
It is called Meg Dogs Bipolar, the letter N, Friends. And that's on Facebook, and that is a closed group, meaning that nobody on your friends list and your family's list can see what you're writing in that group. It's completely safe and completely closed.
Okay.
So. So her name is Alana, and she
mm-hmm.
is in California. So
mm-hmm.
My name is Alana, and I am diagnosed with bipolar, anxiety, depression, and PTSD. I have had this diagnosis for about 4 to 5 years now. My symptoms started showing up when I was under extreme stress and dealing with an emotional abusive relationship right before I turned 30. I started drinking heavily, thinking that it would somehow ease my pain. For many years, I already knew I was depressed and thought it was just the effects of having a bad childhood. My parents were always fighting and then getting back together, which resulted in us moving around the country a lot. When I was diagnosed, my world turned upside down. I thought that I was going to be an outcast more than I already was, and that no one would ever understand, especially when I didn't know exactly what I meant, what it meant to have bipolar disorder. I was really scared to get help, but I realized that if I didn't, then my children would suffer as well. I had a full-blown psychotic episode at my doctor's office before we knew I was bipolar. She just threw meds at me, and I was expected to do the rest on my own. I have been depressed most of my life. I have always been a loner for the most part, and when I was popular in high school, it just led to lots of trouble for me.
Yeah, girl drama.
The emotional abuse I suffered in relationships is mainly why I have anxiety and PTSD. One day I found a group on Facebook about a year or so ago that supported those with bipolar disorder. This is where I found the all-amazing Meg Dog.
Hey, that's you.
Yeah.
That's okay to toot your horn. That's all right.
Yeah. I learned a lot and found that I was not alone. After a while, Meg asked me to help admin her group, and this is where I met the most amazing people. I admire all the admins there, and they are so supportive. They truly understand and can relate to my situation like no one else can. This is the only place I feel safe letting it all out when I need an ear to listen. I still do not trust myself to date and limit myself to friends on Facebook. I do not make friends easily anymore because I am too afraid of getting hurt. I mainly do my best to take care of my girls and be supportive of others, whether they have a mental illness or not. Thanks so much, Elena.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah,
that was
nice. But, you know, I really enjoy the support group because, you know, you don't feel alone, and there's mostly, you know, there's somebody that is going through the same thing that you're going through, and will have some good words of thought for you. So
yeah, I know that she was, you know, she said that she was afraid to make friends, but in this group, I'm sure that, you know, she's been able to reach out, and the fact that she wrote this letter and that she gave us permission to use this says that she wants to reach out to others. So
that's a big step.
It is a big step. It is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with, you know, there's a lot of people who shy away from relationships. They're you know, the common statement is, I'm too afraid to get hurt, because now people have been traumatized. I mean, you know, I don't take emotional abuse lightly. It's negative and as hurtful, you know, as a physically abusive relationship.
Right.
So, in fact, those wounds often, you know, go very, very, very deep and take a long time to heal.
Right.
To heal properly, let's put it that way. But the way I look at it is that in order to trust, I mean, it does take time. And it has to be in an environment that feels safe. And then if we're getting involved in relationships, you know, the way I look at it is that, hey, if you never love, then you never can be loved, right?
Exactly.
So,
you're absolutely right.
You have to begin to trust so you can get those feelings of trust back and good feelings. If you're in a castle all alone, that's where you are, all alone.
Yeah.
You know, but you got to put the drawbridge down and, you know, allow people to come into your life and join you.
And know that you're worthy. You're so worthy of love. You're so worthy of love and friendship. That you're right. Sometimes you just gotta let the drawbridge down and get out there. You know.
Yeah, and get out there and allow people into your life. Yeah. Okay. Well, great stories, Meg Dog, and you know, keep warm.
Yeah.
And we'll be back in a few weeks with some more stories. And I hope that you enjoy this new part of our Dance with Mental Health. We have my story. And I think these are really good stories. Really good
They're
stories
awesome.
To share. You know,
we have many more.
get a lot to get out of it. Okay. Well, thank you for joining us. here. Join us in a few weeks.